Hello and welcome to the online service of Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. My name's Nathan, I work for the church, and it's fantastic to have you connecting with us. As some of you will know, I'm a bit of a film fanatic, and several Christmases ago, Amy brought me a subscription to Empire Film Magazine. Other movie publications are available. And as I flick through the issues, I'm always fascinated by the interviews, articles, reviews of different films and conversations with actors and producers, directors. And frequently, there'll be something that strikes a chord that stands out. In the most recent issue, there is an interview with Vin Diesel and Justin Lin about the Fast and Furious franchise. That's quite a tongue twister. And when describing how some of the scenes in their films are created, Vin Diesel shared this. Sometimes a scene is born just from watching our children play with toy cars. No one would imagine that. But because a child's imagination is unlimited, sometimes all we have to do is pay attention to our children's unlimited imagination. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he also said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom is for children, and the kingdom of God is for those who become like children. As we come to worship today, we want to do that in a childlike way, with unlimited imagination, using all our energy and our enthusiasm to worship God. To help us get in the right frame of mind, we're going to start this act of worship with the all-age talk from Hannah.
Good morning, Cornerstone families. I have a question for you. Have you ever been waiting for something that you're really excited about, and when it comes, it isn't quite what you've expected? I have ordered these beautiful curtains. Do you like them? They're pink, my favourite colour. Look, my jumper's pink. Even my trainers are pink, although you probably just got the bottom of my trainer. I was really excited about these curtains. I waited 6 days for them to arrive. And when they arrived, I was bitterly disappointed because look, they're not wide enough. They don't cover my whole window. There's a gap in my window. It's no use. They will have to go back and I will have to order some new curtains. Shall we have a look at someone else's other examples of when they've not received what they were expecting? Let's look at this guy. This guy has got a cat and she's well excited to sleep in and cuddle the cat in bed. But the reality is this, look, there's toys everywhere, the cat's taking up the whole bed, it's no good whatsoever. Alright, what about if you've ordered a Hulk cake for your birthday? Look how cool this cake is, I want this cake for my birthday. But the reality is not very good at all, not at all. Poor Mr. Hulk. Alright, what about if you've ordered these trainers? Look, they look really cool. You could go running in them, go about town. How cool does that look? When they arrived, look, they were slippers all along. Oh no. And finally, look at this unicorn cake. Actually, I've decided I want this cake for my birthday, not the Hulk cake. Especially if it can come with pink decorations. But the reality is definitely not as good as what was expected. Well, in our Bible, the Israelites were waiting and expecting. Not for something. They weren't waiting for a unicorn cake. They were waiting for someone. The Messiah, the Saviour. We, of course, know him as Jesus. The Old Testament is full of images and descriptions of what he's going to be like. And for instance, in Isaiah chapter 42, it says this: "The Lord will march forth like a mighty hero. He will come out like a warrior, full of fury. He will shout his battle cry and crush all his enemies." It's quite a fierce and strong idea about what Jesus was going to be like. But the thing is, I've been a Christian for a little while now, and I've come to expect the unexpected with God. He really does the thing that we are most expecting. The Israelites expected a warrior, and instead, we got a baby in a manger who grew into a man, not a soldier, but a teacher who taught us about love and not hate. He taught us to love our enemies and spend time with those who are outcasts, those on the outsides of our communities. These were controversial and unheard truths. But ultimately, God sent his son Jesus to conquer death. Like Isaiah said, to be our hero. How, I hear you ask? Well, Jesus didn't turn into the hero of Braveheart, William Wallace, and call us into battle. Yeah! No, remember, God calls us to expect the unexpected. No, Jesus followed his Father's call into the ultimate sacrifice on the cross, to die for us, for our sins, so that we can have lives to the full and have relationships with our Heavenly Father too. Jesus may not have come to the earth in the way that we wanted, but he did conquer death and our enemies. And if you ask me, this was far better than Braveheart or any scene from Gladiator, because through Jesus and through this act, our sins have been forgiven. A life expecting the unexpected may be full of surprises and unknowns, and that can be scary sometimes, but I'm also sure that it will also be exciting and full of joy.
Down and worships your name. sing. Heaven bows down and worships your name. God of creation, we praise. God of creation, we praise. God of creation, we praise.
Died for me. Yes, he died for me.
child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the sun sets free, always free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Lord Jesus, we come together today to worship you, the Lamb who was slain. We thank you that you sacrificed yourself so that we may be reconciled with God, and we know, Lord, that we have done nothing to deserve that. In fact, we confess that we often let you down, and we are sorry for those times when we grieve your Holy Spirit. We ask your forgiveness, Lord, in a moment of quiet. You, Lord, the Lamb who was slain, did so that all might be redeemed by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and nation. You show no favouritism. All are welcome in your kingdom, through Jesus' love and your almighty graciousness.
We are all made in your image, but we know that in this world in which we live now, there are many who see things very differently. Throughout the world, countless people are being oppressed or persecuted for their religious views, for their political opinions, for their ethnicity or sexual orientation. Lord and Heavenly Father, we lift to you your church in those places where to declare that Jesus is Lord leads to persecution, even death. We think of China, where there is systematic, officially sanctioned oppression of Christians, some of whom we know personally. We think too of Nigeria, Mali, India, Pakistan, where Christians stand strong in their faith in Jesus, despite the very real risk of death. We pray that you will keep each one strong in their faith and in the hope they have in Jesus, the hope that we all share.
These past 17 months have shown that nations and peoples cannot live in isolation from each other. COVID-19 has put us all in the same boat. But we know that its effects have differed greatly throughout the world. We are so grateful for the amazing work to produce and deliver vaccines, and we recognise that wealthy nations such as ours have been able to take full advantage of this, whilst poorer nations have struggled. We pray, Lord Jesus, that our government will continue to support the international effort to provide vaccines to those poorer nations and to ensure a more equitable sharing of the resources needed to beat this pandemic, which touches us all.
As we in Cornerstone Church, your church, look to the future, we recognise that in the coming months, many things will be changing, some in the short term, some for much longer. But we are certain of one thing, Lord, you never change. And we are certain too that your kingdom is the ultimate example of inclusivity. So as we move forward into a new season as a church, we want to follow your example, and we are excited by the opportunities before us. Therefore, as a church and as individuals who have found salvation in Christ, we commit ourselves to following Jesus, to be led by God's word and spirit, to actively engage in mission, to embrace adventure, to grow in community, and to be faithful in prayer. Through these things, we aim to grow in our passion for God, in our love for all people, and in our heart for mission.
Heavenly Father, all this we pray through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen and amen. Today's prayers, which were led for us by John and Anne Pullen. The keen beans amongst you will have heard the church's values within those prayers. Anne reminded us that we are to follow God's word and spirit. I encourage you to take a moment now, to take a deep breath as we prepare ourselves to hear God's word read to us and to hear God's words spoken to us. We want to be ready to receive and respond to God's word and the person of the Holy Spirit.
Reading Revelation chapter 5 from the NIV, the scroll and the lamb. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the centre of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden balls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
That's such a wonderful reading from God's word that speaks so powerfully of amazing truths. May God be with us as we look at it together today. There was a famous battle in Roman history, and actually a really significant incident in the history of the Christian church. It was AD 312, the Battle of Milvian Bridge, and Constantine was one of the Roman leaders who was vying to be emperor of the whole Roman Empire. He went into battle against his opponent, but just before, he believed that he had seen a vision that connected with the Christian gospel. And he saw the Greek letters chi and rho, C and R, the first letters of the name Christ. And he received the words by this sign, conquer. So he went into battle with the sign of Christ emblazoned on the shields and tunics of his army. He won a battle, and so the story goes, he converted to Christianity. I wonder what you think of that story. I wonder how you feel about it as you hear it. I want to suggest to you that we should feel distinctly uneasy, and we should want to question that story. In our reading today, there seems to be much that supports it, that sense of power, power in the name of Jesus. He is worthy of glory and honor, and there is something bracing and wonderful and, yeah, powerful about this vision. But when we drill down into Revelation 5 a bit more, we need to ask questions of Constantine. And we need to ask questions of ourselves. I've got two sets of questions that I want to use as a way into this to sort of interrogate the text. And the first set of questions, just two of them, who do we worship and how do we worship? As we go into this text, what do we see? Well, in terms of answering the who do we worship, I think it's pretty clear. We are to worship Jesus. He is the one who is worthy. And we see the people here bursting out into wonderful songs of praise to Jesus Christ. It's amazing here in Revelation 5 that they sing. In Revelation 4, they have spoken. And in Revelation 5, they burst out in song. And there is something about Christian worship, about adoration, that we are called to sing. It's been so hard, hasn't it, not to be able to sing communally in the pandemic. And we hope and pray that a time is coming where we can sing together indoors. There is something about Christianity that leads us to sing. And in the first century, there were many alternatives to worship, different religions, but also different ways of life that, in a sense, were ways of worship. And the same for us today. We can worship things other than Jesus. We can worship materialism. We can worship the gods of consumerism. We can put all on our career and go for selfish career advancement. Yeah, there are many alternative ways that we can worship, but we are called to worship Jesus. Second in this little cluster of questions, how do we worship? And I think that's a really interesting question. Constantine thought that he was worshipping God. Jesus, he thought, was giving him what he wanted on his terms. He was giving him victory in battle, and so he worshipped. But the suspicion must be that for Constantine, Jesus was a sort of add-on extra he was a sort of almost like a sort of genie who was at Constantine's beck and call. As long as you give me victory, as long as you do what I want, I will worship you. But I'm still at the center. Before we point the finger, we ought to consider ourselves. How do we worship? Sometimes we too can worship Jesus as a bolt-on, add-on extra to our desires. It's still me, myself, I at the center. It's my healing in my time on my terms. It's my life lived in my way. And we worship Jesus as a sort of extra. There's a compartment over here where we come to him and we praise him and give him thanks when he gives us help. But it's still me in the middle. And that's not how we should worship. That's not how the people here in Revelation 5 are worshiping. In this vision, it is Jesus who is heart and center. And they say, Jesus, you're worthy to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. There is that sense of the whole of creation joining in praise to our Lord Jesus. He is heart and soul and center. Is this how we worship? Worship of this kind, worship that puts Jesus first, is, as one commentator has said, a subversive act. In a world, in a culture where people are worshipping so many other things, if we worship Jesus, it's subversive. It's an act of resistance. We are saying, no, it's not the way of consumerism. It's not the way of selfish political ambition. It's not the way of military might. It's not these other ways that we might worship. It's Jesus at the center. It's living my life on his terms, his way. It's following Jesus. I've thought quite a lot about worship recently, and you know, I'm an activist. I like to be up and doing, and yet the quotation from Tozer challenges me. Don't know if you know this. Tozer, the 20th century preacher, reminding his listeners, we are worshippers first and workers second. Am I? Are you? A worshipper first. Do we come to Jesus in adoration? Yes, laying our whole lives before him, but also just desiring to sing, to speak and to sing his praises. Who do we worship and how do we worship? That's the first pair of questions. And the second pair, very simple. Who do we serve and how do we serve? Who do we serve? Again, the answer is straightforward. The answer is Jesus. And he is the one who is worshipped and served here in Revelation 5. But how do we serve? That's a really interesting question. What does service of Jesus in his way rather than our way look like? There's something extraordinary that happens at the heart of this reading, and I encourage you just to have a look at it and follow this through with me. There is so much going on here that is speaking of power. It's an extraordinary, powerful, perfect vision. There is this scroll. There is Father God on the throne, the seven seals, again, the number of seven speaking of perfection. There is a mighty angel who proclaims in a loud voice. That's powerful, isn't it? Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? Then there is weeping because no one is worthy to open the scroll. And the word of one of the elders comes to the Apostle John. Do not weep. See the Lion of the tribe of Judah, extraordinary power, a lion roaring, the root of David, great King David, this mighty king, he has triumphed. What a warrior this figure must be. He's triumphed. He's a king in David's line. He's a lion, and he is the one who is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Power from beginning to end. The mighty roar, the mighty king. And who is it who John is going to see? Well, if we didn't know, we might think a warrior on a war horse. This grand vision of this great warrior king, head to toe in armor, carrying a great sword, carrying a mighty shield. That's what we could expect. But what do we see? Verse 6, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. It's really quite extraordinary, and because it's religious language, if you like, because it's language that we're used to, the Lamb of God, Jesus the Lamb, we miss its power. This mighty vision, the loud voices, the roar of the lion, and yet when John looks, he sees a lamb who was slain. Back to Constantine, by this sign conquer, riding into battle to further his personal agenda, to settle a personal score, to kill thousands of his fellow citizens. Is that really the Christian way? Is that really Christian service? Is that really Christian power? No. Because Jesus wins his great victory, not at the point of a sword, but as the points of the nails are driven into his hands and his feet. He is on the throne. He is worthy of power and honor and glory and majesty and might. But when we look, the one who is on the throne is the Lamb who was slain. Again, we think about worship, and this, I think, calls our hearts out to worship God, to worship Jesus, who has given his life for us. We believe and receive afresh. We worship Jesus, who is our Saviour by the cross. But this does say something about how we serve. Ask the question again. How do we serve? Well, how did Jesus serve? He went to the cross for us. And what does he call us to do? He calls us to take up our cross daily and follow him. And what does John see as he looks at the center of this throne, as he looks at the one who has been given all power? He sees the Lamb who was slain. Jesus served in humility, and he served in vulnerability. He gave himself, he gave his very life for us. He was and is the wounded healer. And for those of us who are called to follow him, we are called to serve him, not in our own way, but in his way, the way of the cross. What will this mean for us in practical terms? What will it mean for you as you go into work on Monday morning? What will it mean for you in your family, in your home, in your community, whatever calling God has given you? Well, if you are serving in a workplace on the front line, you may be in a place where there's a lot of office politics and it's dog eat dog and people protect themselves and do others down. That is the way of the world. That is the way of human power. But it's not the way of the Lamb who was slain. The way of the Lamb who was slain is to refuse to play power games and to love and to serve, to be ready to go forward in weakness and the grace of God. as we seek to reach out as a church and as we seek to grow our church? Are we seeking to be competitive with others? Are we just seeking to pursue our own agendas? No, God gives us a generous kingdom vision. And yes, we need to play our part in that. We can't abdicate growth and life and hard decisions to other churches, but we want to partner with others. We want to be generous to all. And as we reach out to others, we don't seek to manipulate. Rather, we seek to present openly and plainly and winsomely the love of Christ. That image of a wounded healer that comes from the spiritual writer Henri Nouwen is a powerful one. And if we serve in Jesus' way, as we love in Jesus' way, then we will receive wounds, because people will misunderstand, and people who are confronted by the love of Jesus sometimes lash out. Our challenge is not to lash out in return, rather to keep serving, to keep loving, again, not in our way, but in Jesus' way. Who do you worship and how do you worship? The challenge, the encouragement, is to worship Jesus and to do so in the way that this passage directs us, with Jesus at the very center, the Lamb at the center of the vision, the Lamb at the center of our hearts and lives. And the challenge and the encouragement is also to serve Jesus and to do so in his way, the way of power, the way of true power, which is the way of the cross.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss for the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And I surrender all to you, all to you. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creations revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
We hope that you've enjoyed connecting with this online service today. If you'd like to connect with us more, whether in person or online, you can contact us at info@cbcl.org.uk, or you can go to Facebook and send us a message there. If you're engaging with this online service on Sunday morning, then we will have a Zoom after party at the usual place. If you're new and joining us for the first time and you don't know that usual place, then send us a message via Facebook or on email or on the YouTube live stream, and we can let you know the link and the password so that you can continue to connect with us. We pray that wherever you go, whatever you do this week, that you would keep Jesus as the heart, soul, and centre of all that you do. We pray God's blessing on you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Proclaim, you are amazing, God.